Ryan McDermott with Ben back Monday night. The barn will be rocking. Who comes out of the lineup? We answered that. Feels like you have to keep tie after tonight. We both agree. Eden Shadlow, who comes out for Ben in game six? I assume Olofsson, but I wonder if Marchment would be a better choice. Eden, you are thinking like Gavin Spittle. Freddie has been excellent and Mush, not so much. I agree, but Sean doesn't believe that will happen. And I agree with Sean on that. Alan Nans, make a case for why Marchment isn't the guy coming out of the lineup with Ben returning. So I'll say this, Stars fans. I mean, one of the thousands of reasons I like doing this podcast, your perception of the game is really, really good. Alan, I can't make the case. All I'm going to say is that Mason Marchment has been a top six forward on this team that, you know, for most of the year, I think the expectations were higher. Sean and I have talked on this podcast where if you look at Mason Marchment's resume, had a really good year on a high scoring Florida team, and the Stars signed him to a really nice deal. So I personally can't make a case except for that he has been one, like it or not, one of their top six forwards for
I can make the case for him to not be in. I can make the case for him to not be in. Like I like what Olofsson's done. I think Olofsson's had more chances than him. I'm just, my case is more so of what I would do and what Pete DeBoer will do aren't always necessarily the same thing. For me, I look at a space where I would actually definitely consider playing. I would consider it personally. I would. I don't think the Stars will. I think at the end of the day, you're going to roll with Marchment. So you're going to keep Marchment in as opposed to Olofsson. But me personally, if all of a sudden I'm magically put in the head coach's office, I'm at least having I'm having an in-depth discussion about it. I want to be clear on that, because now I can also past behavior and how coaches treat players tells me everything I need to know. Mason Marchment is staying in. What I would do and what Pete DeBoer would do aren't always the same thing. And I think that's okay.
Absolutely. Hey, one of the things that really jumped out at the stat sheet tonight was GVA, Sean. And for those that don't know, that's giveaways. Vegas 24, Stars 9. How much credence do you put into that stat?
It's one of those stats where it's important to use it within. To me, I only like using giveaways. There's some stats that I like to, that I think are good for large sample size. Giveaways and takeaways are one of those stats where I actually don't like using them outside an individual game, because too often, just like hits, too often they vary from building to building. Like Vegas as a building is known for juicing the hit counter. And so the number of giveaways, if you look at it over the course of a season, I think you're looking at too many outside factors of different of judgment decisions made by statisticians, where like a shot is a shot is a shot, a block shot is a block shot, a hit is also poorly defined too. But within an individual game, where you have the same person making the judgment call, I think it can be used. And Vegas had 24 giveaways, Dallas had 9, almost triple the way amount of times Dallas gave the puck away. And it's a really telling thing. There was a really great line. Bruce Cassidy had a really good line, dunking all over the Arizona Coyotes after the game. I saw that some people from the Vegas locker room were tweeting it out, where he said that we had 24 giveaways tonight. You're not going to have 24 giveaways and beat the Arizona Coyotes in January. it definitely has an impact, but it also is don't take anything away from the Stars, because don't take stuff away from the Stars too, because it's not like Vegas gave this game away.
Speaking of other teams, you just mentioned Arizona. Stick tap to the San Jose Sharks, who changed their logo green for tonight, as they are a rival in the same division as the Vegas Golden Knights. And they tweeted after the game, "I guess this works. Should we do it again?" And Stars fans were like, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of like that, Sean. It's like, it's just kind of like fun play.
Is that more anti-Vegas or is that more pro Pavelski?
Oh, you know, I never thought about that.
Like, because I like it, it's very similar to me.
Ooh.
To me, the Pavel, it's, you know, when the Avalanche won and Ray Bourque finally won his cup, like they almost had a second parade in Boston, right?
Like, yeah, no, I was there, Sean. They did.
So
that was our cup.
So that's what Pavelski. I mean, I feel like Pavelski winning a cup. I feel like any of those, like Pavelski. Now Joe Thornton is informally retired now, but like I think Pavelski winning a cup would be like that for San Jose. It would be, he got the cup he never got in San Jose. And I think Dallas winning the cup and Pavelski winning the cup, that would be a moment that the Bay Area would celebrate quite a bit.
God, it's so great that he signed for another year.
Yep.
I think that Hall of Fame's getting closer and closer. I really do. We'll see. I know it's the toughest Hall of Fame to get into.
It is, but we will see.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's getting late, so we're running through these questions. But, you know, I mean, Sean's dog, the kids, the wife's gone to bed. You know, I mean, let's party. It's Memorial Day weekend. And Eden, thank you. I didn't read the last part. Love the podcast, guys. Thanks so much for all of your hard work. We're doing the hard work because you guys keep responding and you guys keep growing this podcast. And it really does motivate us. So thank you. Alan Nans asks, make a case for why Marchman isn't the guy coming out of the lineup. I just read that question. Maybe I'm getting tired. And we did make that case. Dylan Morian, I can't imagine the Stars don't want to roll with the same lineup, and it's hard to pull anyone out for Ben, but I think a Ben Johnston Sagan line could be a difference maker. I will say this, Dylan. Tyler Sagan, no points in this series. I think a Jamie Benn on that line would certainly help.
Yeah, and Sagan, I got to double check. I mean, Sagan is -6 this series. He's got the worst plus minus. I mean, now it's not the greatest stat in the world, but he's got the worst plus minus of anyone in this series. And he's I do think him playing with Ben and Johnston, I think that could be a bit of a push. So
Chris Barnard writes, great effort. Once the Stars broke through in the slot and crease area, Vegas suddenly seemed invincible. Yeah, good point. I mean, you go into the dirty areas, you make things happen. And they did tonight.
I just took the IN off. Of
I did too. I did too. Yeah, that's great.
Is that better or would it be invincible?
I don't want my keyboard to come over the air, but I need to look that. Well, let's see. You know what? This is a podcast, so we can do this, my friend. Let's look up.
Yeah, I mean,
invincible.
Invincible is a word. It is. Okay. It's such a kudos to Chris on that word use, because it is. We often think about the ultimate version of it, invincible, but good.
Yeah.
Kudos to Chris on that word choice.
Absolutely. The definition, able to be overcome or conquered. So heck yeah. Chris, we need to hang out. You can make me smarter. Aaron Thacker asks, happy for the win and excited for the season is still going. Thanks for all you do. Thank you, Aaron. Massive stick tap.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Sam Green, let's go. Cap is back. Do you feel like it's a new series? Feel like there's a whole new problem for Vegas coming now. Sean mentioned it before. Yes, the pressure is on Vegas, and it's still, I do want to tell Stars fans, it's an uphill climb. But that said, you're climbing, and that's good, because a few games ago, this series, the probability of it being swept was pretty high, especially with Ben being out, Dadonov being out. Let's see. Sam Green asks a follow-up question, who comes out for Jamie? We answer that. We believe it's Olofsson. Fuzzy Wuzzy Boom Boom has a Ric Flair, and he says, Spitzy, I'm hyped. Hell yeah, I am too. Allison Taylor, at Allison Taylor 32. Trying to understand X's and O's from a basketball point of view, played and coach on a rush fast break. Are players looking for specific spots, or is it more trying to find the spaces? Loving the fight in this team, halfway there, but still a massive hill to climb. That is a really interesting question, Allison. I'll let Sean take this one as far as, you know, the translation of fast break from basketball to hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the elements of teams creating off the rush and similar to basketball, and it's something that we see with Vegas, and it was the Stevenson goal happened tonight, but we see a lot with, like, for example, to use because it's a big part of their game. Vegas is a big cutting team. And you think of like a basketball style comparison, you try to hold up and find your cutters through the lane. And Vegas is big on that, where they work on trying to develop the clean entry, do a little bit of a button hook. Oftentimes there's a little bit of button hook after you enter the zone, so other guys can enter with speed, and finding the player that way. So there is a lot of there's a lot of that. There are similar elements to basketball in that, where it is a on your fast break, you sometimes may try to change the stop start point and create cutters that way. You also have on the rush, on the break, all of that stuff. You have trying to change your point of attack is a big thing too. I think it's, now I'm not a basketball coach and I don't know enough about basketball to break that game down thoroughly. I hear NBA terms, like I know what a pick and roll is, but I don't know. Like, I would love some. I don't know what a pick and pop is. I've heard people say that. I don't know what that is in basketball. So I don't know if there's an equivalent in hockey. But from the parts of basketball I know, I can at least give a little bit of that. So,
all right. Corey Majors, our midday host, which Sean has appeared on the KNC Masterpiece, a very, very popular show in DFW, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. He chimes in, Sean, and he says, if this thing happens, does Delandria get a statue, a plaque, printed currency with his face on it? And I just absolutely love the responses to this. Let's see. Permanent resident of Spieth Island says, renamed the team, the Delandria Stars, the city, the airport. Brandon Taylor, at the very least, you got to name a street after him, especially if he plays long enough and delivers output. So the Ty Delandria fans are coming out in force, which gives me for the, I feel like, 1,426th time, Sean, Mike Modano should have a street named after him by the AAC. So that is a August podcast.
I look forward to the statue podcast, where we have the entire podcast about statues, and all of a sudden we're building an entire chessboard of statues on Victory Plaza.
So, right. Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's do it.
you'll get to Victory Plaza and you'll have to navigate through 16 different statues that all showed up overnight.
Absolutely. I am in on this podcast. And by the way, a few of you asked, glad the podcast keeps going. I will tell you, we will continue Spits and Suds in the off season. It's because of you. So thank you. Because we have so many shows. We have free agency shows. We have letter grades for the Stars. We have statue talk. We have just so many things. So it's great. Mitch at Mitch Smith 67. If the Stars do this, let's see. That was more of a comment. Okay. There's so many, Sean, that I am going through them. This is this is really a lot of fun. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Ash says, all I have to say is holy, and she put a poop emoji. I love hockey, and we love you, Ash. Jamie Campbell, the way we're rolling, I don't know if I'd change just for captain. You know, I can understand Stars fans saying that, but you got to put him in the lineup. He's money. And, you know, one of the things is we talked about how the Stars are creating so much havoc in front of Aiden Hill. I think that's one of the best things Jamie Benn can do. So yeah. I think you add that as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if you wanted to go down the route of like, okay, I don't want to split up that fourth line and I want to keep Olofsson in, like, the amount of people have brought up aptly so, Jamie Benn would be an improvement over Mason Marchman. So, like, there's like, you're not. I hate the hockey credo of we won, so we don't change the lineup. And I like that Pete DeBoer doesn't live by that, as many as some other coaches do. And now any coach is going to put Jamie Benn back in. That's not the case. But in general, I just a quick like soapbox aside, I very much prefer when a coach is willing to make changes even after a win, because that tells me that they're looking at why and how a game happened as opposed to just reacting to the final score. So
yeah, absolutely. Chris at Massacre of Ants, do you think Marchman never fully healed from his injury in the season? He just doesn't look right out there. Or is it just me?
Is this where I deliver that the list of injuries on both teams is going to be a bit shocking for both sides? Like, it's just going to be like that's just the reality of it. There's a lot of hurt guys right now.
Yeah.
On both sides.
So. I agree. All right, Sean, give us the breakdown. We're done with the questions. What are you looking for both sides as far as game six?
For me, we touched on the Aiden Hill response, and I think that's going to be interesting because I think he had the rough third period, and I'm interested to see. He was really great the first two periods. He was even in the Delandria goal, he kind of lost. And then, so I think that to me, I'll be interested to see how he responds. I'll be interested to see how Vegas, if there's any nerves that start to shift in for Vegas at all. And then the other big thing the Stars have to, from the Stars perspective, and this is a big one, feed off the emotion of Jamie Benn coming back, but don't overly feed off of it. Don't do something stupid. Don't do it's easy to say, don't do what happened, what Jamie did in game one, in game three against Mark Stone. That's easy to say, but it is true. Like, you want to come back and you want him to come back and you want to build off it, but you also got to find a bit of that happy medium where you're not running around like a chicken with his head cut off and you're taking a bad penalty or something like that. I think that's the biggest thing for Dallas, where you're playing with house money, but you have to manage the emotions to an extent where you don't do something stupid.
Craig pointed out a key word earlier in the week, and he said composure. And I think when you get to this level of the playoffs, that can win or lose you games, is composure. So I agree with you, Sean. I'll be looking towards that. I think the first 10 minutes is going to be so energetic in the barn, and for Stars fans, and you know, you guys are going to be loud and proud, and hopefully the team gives you something in the first 10 to 15 minutes to cheer about. So that would be great. The Stars have a quality game plan right now and it's working out. So hopefully they can continue, but you know, can't have those. I mean, you're going to take shots from the outside occasionally, but I will just say, you know, getting in front of Aiden Hill, which they weren't doing the first couple of games on a consistent basis, has just made so much of a difference. So hopefully they continue to do that. So Sean, this was a good one, man. I'm super excited. This is really cool, and it's awesome spending Memorial Day weekend. And if we don't thank you enough, thank you so much for being one of the co-hosts of Spits and Suds. This has been such a fun ride doing these post-game shows with you.
Oh, it's been a blast. It's been great. We're still doing this, so we got at least one more. So it's fun.
Let's do it on Monday night, baby. Thanks for all your questions tonight. And if you're listening to this podcast and say, oh, I didn't get my question in, just feel free at GJ Spittle, at Sean Shapiro. Oh, the book is called We Win Here. It's a terrific read. Did I get your, is it at Sean C. Shapiro? Did I get it right? At Sean Shapiro?
No, at Sean Shapiro. You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
All right. My bad.
You're trying to give my email away too, I guess, but that's.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. So. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. The book, We Win Here. That's an awkward transition.
That's fine.
Yeah. And by the way, Idaho is on to the finals in the ECHL. So great job by them. It's good to see a team in the Stars organization making it to the finals. So it's really, really cool.
You talk about a potential, either way, the travel is going to be crazy, but like just the ECHL, Idaho won. Now you've got Boise to either Florida or Newfoundland. So talk about if you want to talk about a fun travel schedule, look what that's gonna be. So
ooh, man, is that two? That's gotta be 232, right? It's not 22111.
Oh, it'll be 232. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Yes.
Frequent flyer miles in effect.
Yes.
All right. For then, Sean. Yeah. Yes.
And they're flying commercial. So
I know that's what I was saying. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And Newfoundland is not the easiest to get to.
No.
So for Sean Shapiro, I'm Gavin Spittle. Thanks once again for all your support of Spits and Suds. So we'll be on after the game on Monday night, win or lose. So we will see you then. And thank you for listening to Spits and Suds on 105.3 The Fan. Have a great Sunday, everyone.